Welcome to Executive Leaders Radio, your spot in the corner office, the radio show where executives share their secrets to success. Executive Leaders Radio.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Jim Wilson, Newmark, Matthew Shapiro, Obermeyer, Michaela Pappas, Hanlon, and Ben Estalos, Brown and Brown. And Matthew, could you give us a rundown of who we have on the air today, please?
Sure can, Herb. We're starting off with Chris Contini, who's the co-founder and CEO of Encore Systems. Then we have Doug Mannion, the CEO of Aclaris Therapeutics, Inc. We're following that with Gene Friedman-Radofsky, who's the executive director of Resolve Philly. And we'll be wrapping up today with Stefan Reeves, the CEO of Montage Companies.
Well, let's get to know our first guest, Chris Contini, co-founder and CEO of Encore Systems. Chris, what is Encore Systems? What are you guys doing?
Morning, Herb. Encore Systems is an educational technology solutions provider for public K-12 schools.
All righty. Where are you from? How many brothers and sisters? Where are you in the pecking order?
From South Jersey, specifically Pittman, New Jersey, and I have an older sister who's 5 years older than me.
Okay. 8 to 14. What's the list of stuff you were doing as a kid, 8 to 14?
Doing sports, soccer, little league, tennis. But I also was highly involved and interested in things like art and drawing and painting.
Mm-hmm. Jim, want to give me a hand, please?
Yeah, Chris, in the green room, you mentioned to us you were interested in, you know, art, but you also said you like to tinker with things, mess around with nuts and bolts. What's that creativity and that tinkering have to do with what you're doing at Encore Systems?
I think it has a lot to do. Just always like to try to build things, you know, take things apart, put them back together. And I think starting a software company really, you know, had a lot to do with that sort of interest. Mm-hmm. We started it from the ground up. And so we had to build a foundation and now it's different.
Gotcha. Ben, please give me a hand.
Chris, growing up, what did your parents do?
Both were educators. However, my mother was a teacher and stayed a teacher for 30 plus years. My father started as a teacher and ultimately became assistant commissioner of education in New Jersey.
So you had a lot of experience from the outside looking in on education there. How does that play into what you do today with your tech company?
Well, because it's an educational based system, all my parents' friends were teachers at the time. So I got to understand who we were providing solutions for. And obviously, you know, being in teaching and administration, I got to see all the different levels of who we were writing the software for.
Cool. Caleb?
Chris, you mentioned a few different sports in the beginning, but I think you said tennis was your favorite. What drew you to tennis? Why did you enjoy playing it?
It was probably my best sport, number one, but it also, it gave me time to actually spend more time with my father. He's the one that got me interested in the sport. He still plays today at almost 80 years old. And it's just one of those bonding experiences. And also, you know, let me meet, you know, new friends who are interested in that sport at the time.
So after your match, you'd be able to talk to your dad about how you played. He'd give you some ideas on how to get better. And you guys would kind of be a sounding board for each other.
It was probably more like, this is what you did wrong. But, you know, that was good, too. That was good feedback.
So now, as the leader of a company, Encore Systems, are you kind of that sounding board for your employees? Do you guys go back and forth on ideas and how to get better?
Absolutely. We've been able to build a leadership team that I just sort of, you know, am the sounding board for folks who are running our various departments. And that's what I really enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Matthew?
Chris, you're from this family of educators. You're doing education work. Can I assume that if we go back 8 to 14, you're one of those kids who loved school?
That would not be a good assumption. School for me was sort of like jail. That's kind of how I felt about it. Not because, you know, it was a horrible environment. It just didn't interest me. You know, I'd be staring out the window thinking about all those people that were free outside doing what they wanted to do.
So what is your frustration when you were 8 to 14 and not enjoying school have to do with what you're doing today?
Ironically, we got into education, which is interesting, but not inside the classroom. And I obviously knew the value of education and had a supportive family, but it just wasn't, you know, my major interest at the time. But, you know, learned lessons, certainly.
So you also told us in the green room a little bit about your grandparents and working with them. What was that about?
So my grandparents, who got married at 16 years old, lived in Atlantic City, had various jobs, making it through those times, eventually became caterers. And they catered a lot in the casinos. At about 8 years old, I could name every casino on the strip because we spent a lot of time working in those buildings.
So what did you learn about running a company from watching your grandparents run their catering business?
I think it was just, you know, from an early age, you got to see that, you know, everybody wears all hats. You know, you could call yourself the owner, but at the end of the day, you know, you're running all the positions in the company if need be. And that's what we stress today at OnCourse.
Mm-hmm. Caleb?
So it seems kind of, Chris, either at work or at school, you're constantly looking for new ideas and ways to do things better. How did you come up with the idea for OnCourse Systems?
So this one's, you know, an interesting one. My wife actually was really the catalyst for the company. She was a first year teacher and she had a problem trying to write lesson plans and communicate with her colleagues and give them to her administrators. And everything was a paper-based process. And I saw, you know, a possible solution. I was working in IT, writing websites, and this was just after the .com. And we thought, listen, maybe we can build a business off of this, and you know, the rest has been history.
Mm-hmm. How did you build it? Who did you bring the idea to get this off the ground?
Well, very luckily, I, right out of college, got a job working for a candy and food distribution company, family-owned, with a real entrepreneurial spirit. And we had kicked around some other ideas as we were doing web programming, but this one seemed like a good one. And my mentor, Guido, took the solution and said, you know, let's work on this. And we started working weekends. This is one of the owners of the company and a young new employee.
Wait a minute. How young were you in the company when you brought this idea to the current CEO of who you were working for?
It's about a 2.5 to 3 year employee at the time, but it was a smaller family company. So I had a chance to make some moves up.
Did he steal your idea and turn it into his own?
You know what? We partnered on it. He is still, he owns a good chunk of the company, but he's not actively involved in the duties every day.
So you were really fortunate to have a leader that heard you out, took your idea and really brought it to fruition. So now I'm wondering, as the leader of a company yourself, do you kind of have that relationship with your employees?
Try to, you know, be very open-minded. You know, I'm not the one that has the answer to all the problems, and we built a good team, I think, based on that methodology.
So what's the benefit to the company or your customers to kind of have that culture?
You know, I think it allows us to have high levels of customer service. We're very sensitive to our clients and their needs. And, you know, everybody's a problem solver. And, you know, we talk about one important thing that my father always instilled in me, that professional tension is okay in an organization. And when we have, you know, we butt heads, we call it professional tension. And that's how we work through our problems. Mm-hmm.
Chris, are your parents still around nowadays?
They are, both about 80. And
Are they surprised what you're doing?
You know, my mom always said, I think you'll be a car salesman. And I didn't know that was, I took that as a positive back then. But I don't think so. You know, I've always had the ability to hopefully communicate with
people. You think they're proud? You think they're proud, Chris?
You know, luckily enough, they're still with us, and they tell me they are proud. And I get
why are they proud of what you're doing?
Why am I proud, or why are they?
No, why are they proud?
Well, I think they thought I was going to be a car salesman, Herb. you know, I graduated as an art major in college. They didn't see this one coming. You know, my sister's an attorney and a judge now. So I think they're just happy that the art major made it.
What's the similarity between, I understand you're married and you have two kids, and it was your wife's idea to get the business started, even though you thought school was a jail. Tell us a little bit about what's the similarity between being a dad and being a CEO?
Wow. When I talk at the office, sometimes people listen. When I talk at home, no one ever listens. I think that's the difference, maybe. I think it's, you know, lessons learned through life, through business, help you trying to be a dad. Although, you know, I have no boys. I have two girls. So that's been a life learning.
And your relationship with Guido, your partner, I mean, I guess it's tough. Do you tell him all the things that are going wrong? Do you tell him about what's going wrong? And do you ask him his opinion, or do you like try to hide that stuff from him?
You know, I think early on, as he was a mentor and truly like a brother to me that I never had, you know, I would share a lot of that stuff with him. As we've gotten older and we've sort of parted ways and not working on a daily basis together, you know, you lose a little of that.
Yeah, he's learned to trust you. What's the website address of this organization known as OnCourse Systems?
It's OnCourseSystems.com.
We've been speaking with Chris Contini, co-founder and CEO of OnCourse Systems here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website. It's ExecutiveLeadersRadio.com. That's ExecutiveLeadersRadio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment right after this quick break. Don't go anywhere. This is Herb Cohen, your host at ExecutiveLeadersRadio.com. Regarding your career, if you're trying to figure out how to make the most money and also enjoy your career, that's enjoy your career, I mean really enjoy your career and make the most money, you ought to talk to our CEOs. They've got the bird's eye view of where the really profitable jobs are, where the really profitable jobs are going to be, and they're willing to speak with you regarding their vision for the future and where you may fit into it in order to make the most money and really enjoy your career. Email us, consult@executiveleadersradio.com. That's consult@executiveleadersradio.com to get help from our CEOs regarding where you may want to go in your career to make the most money and really enjoy your career. Consult@executiveleadersradio.com.
Hello, this is Steve Kuecker, president of Senior Care Consulting. I'm so excited to announce that we are expanding nationwide by awarding Senior Care Consulting franchises. We help our clients find the right senior care community, including assisted living, memory care, long-term care, and continuing care retirement communities. We are not another run-of-the-mill free referral service. We're very different. We offer a placement service with integrity. Owning a Senior Care Consulting franchise offers many benefits. Our market is not affected by the economy. Operate from your home office and enjoy work-life balance. Pour your passion into a business you can be proud of. For more information about owning a Senior Care Consulting franchise, call 833-722-3726. 833-722-3726 or visit seniorcareconsulting.com.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same but is 95% cheaper? And you can get it online? Just go to hims.com/joy. Through Hims, you'll get a free medical consultation, discreet shipping if prescribed, a 100% online process, and trusted generic alternatives to the name brands. Add up to 95% off. That's right, get generic for Viagra, the same active ingredient as brand name Viagra, but for 95% less. It's the same medication, still prescribed by a licensed medical provider, but with zero copay, no expensive appointments, and no awkward face-to-face conversations. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy for your free online visit, hims.com/joy.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. Like to introduce, get to know, Doug Mannion, who's the CEO of Aclaris Therapeutics. Doug, what is Aclaris Therapeutics?
We're a public biotech company out of Wayne, Pennsylvania, and we develop drugs for serious diseases like rheumatoid arthritis.
And where you're from, how many brothers and sisters, and where are you in the pecking order?
Ottawa, Canada, youngest of four.
And 8 to 14, what's the list of stuff you were doing as a kid?
Sports, girls.
And you also mentioned that how many kids were in your neighborhood when you were a kid?
I couldn't count, so many. And we had a gang, it was fantastic.
What was your role with the kids in the neighborhood?
I was the adult, I would keep them out of jail.
So you were organizing them and making sure everybody was on the right path?
Yep.
All right, what's that have to do with what you're doing nowadays as CEO of this public company?
It's just, I like to lead, and my whole life I'd like to kind of get, you know, people to work together to make good things happen for whatever, and currently it's to cure disease.
Matthew?
Yeah, Doug, you told us in the green room that when you were a kid, you liked math and physics. And I liked physics, too, for all the little games and things that you played with. So I'm curious, did you have an exercise, something that you did that's particularly memorable?
So I like to see things work. So there was one thing that we did, a lab where we had an air hockey table, and we had to calculate how fast the puck was going to go and based on all the angles. I thought that was awesome, and I became a very good air hockey player.
I'm curious, did you like figuring it out, or did you like that it helped you win?
Equal measure of both.
And so what does figuring that stuff out and winning, what do those two things have to do with what you're doing at Aclaris Therapeutics?
It's all about looking at problems. So what we do is we find targets for disease that are really difficult to drug, and we have an amazing group of scientists that are just way more clever than the average bear in figuring out.
Mm-hmm. Ben?
Doug, as the youngest of four, what was the biggest trait that you learned from your older three siblings?
All of them, like my mother and father, were geared towards service of others. My brother's a psychologist, my sister's a personnel officer, my other brother's an accountant, but it's all about service in my family.
And so that service, how did that lend into your position today?
I didn't want to be a CEO, but I did want to see things work. And if no one was stepping up to organize, I would organize. And, you know, people seemed to want to follow me because I guess I did it pretty well. And then just good things kind of happened.
Mm-hmm. Didn't you have a profession prior to becoming a CEO?
Yeah, I actually, when I left college, I became a sewer engineer. I couldn't think of any system where if you get it wrong, you have worse outcomes. If you get it right, you have better outcomes. And I was actually designing sewers when the AIDS epidemic happened. I was designing sewers in Africa, and I decided to become an AIDS doctor because of that.
Wait a minute, but weren't you an AIDS doctor? So you were a doctor as well as designing sewers, as well as a CEO?
Yeah. I'm a jack of all trades, a Doug of all trades.
Okay. Jim?
You mentioned growing up in Ottawa, Canada. You went to French school when you were young. Did you enjoy French school?
Not initially. I thought I had a learning disability and I wanted to quit in my first week of kindergarten, but my mom and dad told me to kind of stick through it, and it was really good. And I likened it to the Rocky movie where he learned to box with his right hand. When I actually started going to English medical school, it was way easier.
Aclaris Therapeutics, so you're developing a treatment for various diseases. Is that a quick process?
No, yeah, I wish. So no, the company's been around for 12 years. We have a drug that's just entering into large scale clinical trials. Hopefully it's going to get approved in the next 3 or 4 years. But yeah, it's not for people who can't delay gratification.
So does toughing it out and in school, does that have anything to do with, you know, getting through these arduous processes?
It's all about stick-to-itness. I mean, it's so easy to quit. I mean, every drug that makes it to help people has almost had, you know, died 8 times. It takes people who just are willing to not take no for an answer.
Mm-hmm. Caleb?
Doug, you told us that you were really into sports growing up. What was your favorite sport and what was your role on the team?
So I did every sport. I love sports, but my favorite by far was European team handball, which is a combination of full contact basketball and hockey without the pads. I was the team captain, but basically I was the guy who would take out their best player, not you know, in illegal ways, but I would just cover them like a cloth, and so they couldn't score any goals.
So you had one particular job on the team, and it was a very important role.
That's but exactly you right. And everybody else, you know, there was the artist that could score goals, and there were the playmakers and the guys like me that would just kind of, you know, negate the top player from the other team.
So on one of our last questions, you referred yourself as a Doug of all trades. I'm wondering if you were that on the team handball court, and how hard is it for you to not roll over or to stay focused really on your one job? Were you able to do that?
Yeah, no, I had no trouble. But if you give me a task, I'm going to do it very well. I mean, I'd carry the water for the team if that was what it took.
So now running a company as the CEO, is it important to be able to let your players do their jobs and you kind of oversee the whole project?
Exactly. I mean, my dad taught me, if you're a smart leader, at the start, you set a vision, at the back end, you say thank you. And in the middle, you get the hell out of the way.
What did your dad do for a living?
He was a very senior guy in the Canadian Public Service. He was the Canadian version of the White House Chief of Staff.
And what did he teach you about business or management? Give me that again.
He just taught me that, you know, you got to be a humble servant leader, you know, that people are only going to follow you if they think that you're better than they are. And the way to do that isn't to be arrogant, It's to be humble. It's to say thank you a lot and to help them be successful.
The people aren't going to follow you unless they think you're better. But on the other hand, as opposed to being arrogant, be humble.
It's called level five leadership. And, you know, it's something that I think it was just in my DNA. I don't think I have any special skills at that. But yeah, I think arrogant leaders, you know, don't deserve a followership.
Matthew?
Yeah, Doug, you've plainly got this self-deprecating sense of humor. I get the self-deprecating piece now, but tell me why the humor matters to what you're doing.
I tell you, it smooths off all the rough edges in life. And, you know, my mom's a great woman, Sylvia. And amongst the fun things she did is she was an amateur clown, and she would go into children's hospitals in the cancer wards just to make kids happy. I thought that was outstanding.
Did you go with her to those cancer wards?
No, but I was working in one of the cancer wards when she showed up as a clown. And I tell you, I got ribbed for that one.
How young were you when you were, why were you working in the cancer ward? And how young were you?
23, 24. That's part of what you do in med school.
So you were in med school and your mom just happened to be the clown that came in.
Correct. I was at the time unaware. I'd moved away when I was 19. I was unaware that she was doing that, and she was wearing a mask. I didn't know it was her. Then she called my name and took off the mask, and one of those crystalline moments of life.
So what do you bring from your mom to work every day?
No, just, you know, you got to just take it light. You know, there are real problems in the world. And then there's the stuff that we deal with most of the time. And just, you know, just take it light. Crack a joke when people are kind of losing their minds. Just dial it down.
Mm-hmm. And what do you bring from your dad to work every day?
Like I said, this idea that, you know, you work harder than everybody else. You work harder to make them better. You say thank you all the time. You take all the blame. You give all the credit. And then, you know, followership just kind of ensues.
Where do you find meaning? What do you find meaning from? What's meaningful to you?
When a bunch of people do more together than they could have done individually.
How young were you when that wanting the team to win together began to show up in you?
Yeah, I don't remember a time when I didn't think that way. It was just genetic. I just, you know, my earliest memories are of wanting to kind of organize things to work better. Even my older siblings.
What do you mean?
So one of my brothers and my sister did not get along. And I spent most of my time until I moved away trying to get them to coexist, and often using humor.
So your nature, even though you have this deep scientific propensity, your fundamental personality trait is to try to get the team to work together from a very early age, as you expressed with your brother and sister. It just so happens that you fell into being a doc and you fell into science, and now you're CEO of a company. In fact, that personality trait really lent itself to your being the CEO.
I think so, yeah. I mean, it just kind of flowed.
The chairman of your company is a well-experienced entrepreneur. He must really believe in your personality traits as well as your scientific background to bet on you. What's the website address of this organization known as Claris Therapeutics?
Well, his name is Neil Walker, and he is a great guy. And our website is aclaristx.com.
Let me have that one more time.
Aclaris, aclaristx.com.
You've been speaking with Doug Mannion, CEO of Aclaris Therapeutics, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, back in a moment, right after this quick break.
This is your Tech It Out Minute with Mark Saltzman, brought to you by Asus.
You've heard us talk about cybersecurity before, and that's because the security of your home or business network is so important. Free with a TP-Link Wi-Fi router is HomeCare, protecting your network, devices, and smart home from cyber threats. TP-Link's Jens Hennings has more.
A lifetime free of charge software suite that comes with your TP-Link router when you purchase it. And it covers your home network with a really great solution for addressing all these cyber threats.
And included with HomeCare is Antivirus Plus.
So all of your devices, they're all protected at the source, where you're getting your internet connection from. It protects you from virus and also from malware threats.
More on home care and Wi-Fi solutions is at tp-link.com.
That was your Tech It Out Minute, brought to you by Asus.
Attention business owners, 3,076 businesses are shutting their doors every single day. There are three things holding you back from doubling your sales in the next 12 months. They are number one, the Great Resignation. 47 million Americans voluntarily left their job last year. Your staff are harder to find than ever before. Number two, the clutter factor. 3.8 billion social media pages are competing for the attention of your prospects. No wonder they aren't listening to your marketing efforts. Number three, the death of the salesman. 97% of your prospects feel salespeople are too pushy today. Hello, I'm Amanda Holmes. I've just released an updated version of my father's cult classic book, The Ultimate Sales Machine. If you'd like to double your sales in the next 12 months, download a free chapter of the book at ultimatesalesmachine.com/book. Our clients call it the chapter that changes lives. It's worked for 250,000 businesses worldwide. It'll work for you. Get your proven roadmap to doubling sales at ultimatesalesmachine.com/book.
As the holiday shopping season approaches, new research reveals brand loyalty has taken on a life of its own. Influenced by a host of factors, including cost considerations and an increase in savviness with technology, the way we shop is constantly reshaping. That's according to customer engagement experts SAP Emarsys, and Kelsey Jones, Global Head of Product Marketing, has more.
Loyalty is shifting in the United States. Shoppers want brands to understand them and improve their entire shopping experience. Excellent customer service remains as a top factor in securing loyalty among American consumers, and demand for personalization is again on the rise. It is clear that brands must revise their strategies and embrace omnichannel approaches to win and retain customer loyalty in the US. And the upcoming peak shopping season is the perfect chance for brands to get to know their customers. To learn more about these insights and the future of loyalty, visit Emarsys.com.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. I'd like to introduce Gene Friedman-Radofsky, who's Executive Director of Resolve Philly. Gene, what is Resolve Philly?
Resolve Philly is an unconventional local newsroom, and we try to get folks actively engaged in the news-making process rather than just being passive consumers.
Where you're from, how many brothers and sisters, where are you in the pecking order?
I am from Philadelphia. I have an older brother who's 4 years older, and then our parents split. And so I have two half siblings, one who is 14 years younger and another who's 16 years younger.
Mm-hmm. How young were you when you began digging for the truth, when the truth became really important to you?
For as long as I can remember. I am an introvert, but also a really naturally curious person. And so I think I began asking lots of questions from a very early age.
Why?
It's how I could understand the world. It's how I could interact with people. You know, as an introvert, it's hard to kind of go up and make small talk and make friends in that way. But if you have questions to ask, one, people like talking about themselves, people like answering. And so if you have questions to ask, you're able to build relationships and able to build human connection.
What's that have to do with what you're doing nowadays?
It's a straight through line, right? Being a reporter is all about building relationships, understanding people's stories, and then telling other people about the things that they need to know to move this world in a better direction.
All right. Just wanted to make sure I understood, Matthew.
Gene, you told us earlier that you liked school. What did you enjoy about school?
I did. I love school. My brain runs at a mile a minute. And so I think I really appreciated an opportunity for someone else to give it direction and to give me something to focus on. I just love the intellectual challenge.
And you told us you really liked the class with Ms. Hansberry. Why did you like that class?
I did, because I think in thinking about it, so she was my high school teacher, AP social studies, government, something like that. I should remember, but I don't. In that class, one, the curriculum was completely different. I went to public school, and so very kind of traditional regimented curriculums. And I think she kind of threw a lot of things, to be honest, out the window. But I think the other thing that was important about her class is that it was less about the topics that we were learning and more about how we were learning to think, right? It was those skills of critical analysis that I think most people get in college.
So is it fair to say that what she was doing for you in school is almost exactly what you're doing for the news now?
Yeah, I would say so. Trying to get people to be more engaged and think for themselves.
Ben?
Dean, interestingly, in the green room, you mentioned that your parents would take you when you were 7, 8, 9 years old to social justice movements and protests. How did that affect you as such a young child?
I loved it. I thought it was really fun. And I think it also really instilled this this understanding and sort of deep core commitment to me that, you know, we are only here on Earth for a very brief period of time. There is an immense amount of injustice and problems in the world. And so it's our place as folks of privilege to try to make this world a more equitable place.
And so did that, and how does that provide the framework for your goals today?
I am still carrying out those goals, right? I'm not necessarily the person who is leading the protest, but I'm trying to understand why people are protesting. I'm trying to understand the solutions that they are offering to the world. And it's all moving things forward together.
Jim?
Gene, you mentioned your parents were major role models. What do you bring to work from them every day with you?
So from my dad, I bring, I would say, maybe a slice of his intelligence. He's a MacArthur Genius winner. I do not pretend to be a genius, but I, you know, am a smart analytical person. He is very calm. He is very level-headed. Nothing sort of riles him. And I think that's how I'm known as a leader. From my mom, I bring, that is where the empathy, the compassion, the passion, the sort of warmth. She is an extrovert. She is the person who is really good at forming deep and close and lasting relationships. And I bring that to work every day from her.
Caleb?
Dean, what were the sports that you were playing growing up?
I played tennis. I played soccer. I played basketball for a little bit, which I loved, but I was terrible, so I stopped playing it. Those are my main ones.
So you stopped playing. Are you still a fan? Do you like basketball today?
Love basketball. Huge Sixers fan.
So how did that feel when there was something that you really loved to do, you weren't very good at, and you had to stop playing it because, you know, you couldn't really hack it on the team?
It was fine. You know, I don't need to be the center of attention. I don't need to be the person who is scoring the baskets or who is even out on the court. I think as long as I am a part of what's going on, that feels important to me.
What does that have to do with being a reporter?
I think it's the exact same role, right? It's understanding why are folks out on the court? Why are other people watching? What is this thing that we're doing together that we all enjoy?
Jim?
Gene, you mentioned you lived in Bolivia and Vietnam. How does that influence what you're doing today?
I think, you know, I grew up in Philly. I live in Philly now. I think if I had stayed here my whole life, I would have a very, very different worldview and perspective. Being able to live in a place where it's not just, you know, sort of a different environment, different weather, different geography, but different core beliefs, different world perspectives. I think it's, you know, I am able to, my organization exists to serve those who have been long marginalized in the media, Black and brown communities, immigrant communities. I am able to connect so much better from having personal experience that was beyond this own bubble.
Caleb?
Dean, you said earlier that your brain runs a mile a minute, and you also told us in the green room that you're still an athlete. You like to run, you like to bike. What benefit does continuing to be an athlete help calm your mind down and keep you focused on the task?
It's exactly that, right? When I'm running, I can get into a flow state, and what I'm focused on is moving my feet forward and not on the challenge at work or the story I'm working on or how my kids at home aren't listening to me.
And did you learn that at a young age? I mean, when you were playing all these other sports, did it help you when you were growing up?
I think so. I think I found that I always needed sort of that balance between intellectual engagement and physical engagement. And I think being able to maintain that in my adult life is just really important to being a calm and happy person.
Matthew?
Gene, if we go back 8 to 14, were you reading or watching the news?
I was. I was definitely reading and watching the news. Yep. My parents got the paper.
So like what? How did you engage with it then?
I would read it sometimes. I saw my parents as, you know, active, I would say not just consumers of the news, but we talked about the news, right? At night, we talked about what was going on in the world. We talked about my father's cases. He's a lawyer. We talked about the work that my mom did, which was in public health. And so it felt personal to me, even if we were discussing things that didn't necessarily touch my life directly, the fact that it was part of my daily existence, I think brought that real close attachment from an early age.
So was there someone who was either reading or broadcasting who you really admired, or are you trying to bring your house to the rest of the world?
Yeah, I think more the latter, right? I think I'm trying to bring that feeling of, you know, the news and information that we receive every day. Yes, it should be about, you know, other folks in the outside world. And also it should impact your life. It should help your life. You should be getting local news that actually enables you to make better and more, better decisions for yourself, for your family, for your community.
Mm-hmm. I guess the benefit of your being the executive director is you get to go in late, come home early, and you're not working weekends or anything like that, are you?
Very funny. I do try not to work on the weekends. I actually have a real hard line against that unless there is some crazy deadline, because I want to, you know, be there for my kids and my family and my own mental health. But yes, obviously I work very hard.
Mm-hmm. Similarity between being a mom and a executive director?
It's about listening, right? And I think actually asking questions, right? When there is a challenge on my team, I need to understand why. In the same reason, when my 8-year-old is throwing a fit in the morning because he wants to wear a certain pair of pants that are like unbelievably filthy and dirty, but why, Quinn? Why do you want to wear them? Well, because my friends are making fun of me that my other pants were too big and falling down. It's like, oh, okay, buddy. Like, I get it now. Rather than being angry at you for just wanting to wear this dirty pair of pants, let's try to solve this problem.
It sounds to me like you're the master understander, and then you become the reporter with the publication. What's the website address for
resolvephilly.org?
Let me have that one more time.
resolvephilly.org.
You've been speaking with Jean Friedman Radofsky, who's executive director of Resolve Philly here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, it's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, stick around. We'll be back in a moment right after this quick break. Don't go anywhere. This is Herb Cohen, your Executive Leaders Radio host. And the CEOs we've interviewed on this show are interested in helping you get your business started and helping you grow your business, whether you're aware of the issues or whether you want the CEOs to give you a hand identifying the issues in getting your business started and or in growing your business. Why don't you email us at consult@executiveleadersradio.com. That's consult@executiveleadersradio.com. Whether you're interested in having our CEOs speak with you regarding getting your business started or growing your business, send us an email at consult@executiveleadersradio.com, and we'll be sure to get back to you shortly with some help.
Now, the Small Business Breakdown from the Pat Miller Show.
America's small business conversation.
Now your host, Pat Miller.
If you want a fresh idea for networking, here's one we created inside the Idea Collective for small business owners. Three folks you should reach out to today. First of all, catch someone doing something right. Find someone in your industry that's innovating or killing it, send them some fan mail, and see if you can start a conversation. The second person is a mentor, someone who changed the way you look at yourself, inspired you to reach for the stars. Those folks can inspire you to continue to take risks. And the third person is an aspirational outreach, someone a few chapters ahead in your story. Reach out to them and ask if you could have a conversation. Three people, three fresh ideas to keep you growing.
Join America's Small Business Conversation
on The Pat Miller Show.
Available now at patmillershow.com.
What is your healing power? Helping veterans with PTSD, traumatic brain injuries, depression, anxiety, or loneliness? Is your healing power a simple heartfelt letter or being a volunteer? At HealVets.org, you can find out more about the healing power of pen pals, volunteers, and therapy kits. Help Heal Veterans has been helping veterans heal. What is your healing power? Find out at HealVets.org. Sponsored by Help Heal Veterans.
Could you use a little extra money right now? If you'd like to borrow up to $100,000 and get pre-approved in minutes, call the number we'll give you at the end of this commercial. Our lending partners have already loaned millions of dollars to individuals just like you, and we're ready to lend you up to $100,000 if you qualify. Even if your credit is not perfect, you could use the money to pay off high-interest credit cards, for home renovations, or consolidate existing debt. You could get flexible, easy-to-pay terms. The consultation to find out if you qualify is free. To find out if you qualify for our special financing program, call this toll-free number 24 hours a day. 800-590-0843. 800-590-0843. 800-590-0843. That's 800-590-0843. Important terms and conditions apply. Not all applicants will qualify. Loan amount, annual percentage rate, and term will vary depending on creditworthiness. Applying does not guarantee approval. Account approval is subject to verification and confirmation of your credit history and acceptance by a lender. If you choose to apply for a loan through us, a consumer report will be obtained to evaluate your creditworthiness in connection with your application for credit.
The word never carries a lot of weight. Never forget, never settle, never surrender. And now, Dodge is proud to announce Never Lift, the full-throttle rally cry of stepping on the gas and never letting up. With the 475-horsepower Durango SRT 392 and the muscle car dynamic duo Dodge Charger and Challenger, and the introduction of Dodge Power Brokers, your official dealer for legendary Direct Connection performance parts. For more on the Never Lift mindset, go to Dodge.com. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. I'd like to introduce Stefan Reeves, who's the CEO of Montage Company. Stefan, what is Montage Companies? What are you guys doing?
So Montage Company is a group of diversity consulting, education consulting, and real estate.
Excellent. Where are you from originally? How many brothers and sisters? And where are you in the pecking order?
Originally from the island of Jamaica. And brothers and sisters.
All right, so you're an only child. And tell me a little bit about 8 to 14. What were you doing as a kid, 8 to 14 years old?
8 to 14, I was living in Jamaica between 8 and 11. And actually, over those years, my mom had gone to Miami for an eye operation. And so I did not see her. She did not return to Jamaica promptly. Mm-hmm. And so I lived with my grandmother.
Mm-hmm. And when living in Jamaica, what was your reputation amongst your cousins?
So, you know, in the green room was interesting. We were talking about I would protect my younger cousins, but I was the for a number of years I was the youngest of probably four or five cousins. Mm-hmm. So I was previously the protected, and then I became the protector.
What's being the protected and then becoming the protector have to do with what you're doing nowadays at this organization called Montage Companies?
Well, you know, I think as a leader, you know, one thing I always try to do is I always try to, you know, protect my people and make sure that they have everything that they need to do to accomplish their job well, not only their jobs, but in life. So we really try to impact our employees by, you know, helping them to move forward.
Gotcha.
Ben? In life, out of work.
Stefan, you had a tremendous amount of experience.
Oh, you're actually on mute, Ben. Okay, Ben.
Stefan, you had a tremendous amount of experience coming from Jamaica to the U.S. Between ages 8 to 14. What was your experience like with school when you got to the U.S.?
So when I got to the U.S., I lived in Norwalk, Connecticut, and I went to Ponus Ridge Middle School for 1 year. The feeder school or the high school would be Ryan McMahon, I think it was called, and it was not a very good school. My mom was an educator back in Jamaica prior to coming to the United States.
So was there a change made? Did she make a change there?
Yes, she did. She actually got me into a private school, New Canaan Country School, in New Canaan, Connecticut.
And was there a difference between the two schools?
There was a tremendous difference between the two schools, Ben. You know, in Conus Ridge Middle School.
What was the effect of the two different schools on you nowadays?
Well, I mean, that's partly why I started Montage Diversity Consulting 21 years ago, before the word diversity wasn't even a thing. And it's because of my transition from to the private school environment.
Caleb?
Stefan, we were talking about your cousins in the green room, and we asked what your reputation was, and you didn't bring this up when Herb just asked you. You said you were known as the singer, and you really lit up about it. You seemed excited. What about singing were you really drawn to?
I like performance, and I like performing in Jamaica. There's a tradition when you start high school, and I started high school at 10 years old in Jamaica. It's slightly different system. We call it first form. So at first form, the tradition is to have each one of the new recruits to the school basically sing some kind of song, and while others were kind of, taking it back and be shy to sing, I was very excited to sing. So I kind of earned a small following.
You earned a small following, and then were you able to kind of bring people together with it?
I think ultimately that's what I do now with my music. I still sing in a band now, Jack Light Move. We're a reggae band.
Mm-hmm.
It's really with a number of folks that I went to college with at Lehigh, and Jim? It's just music brings people together. And
Jim, you want to grab him?
Stefan, we were talking about role models in the green room. You mentioned your mother being a teacher, and then you mentioned your grandmother being kind of an entrepreneur, and kind of your first experience with entrepreneurship, owning her own building and selling eggs and chicken and hog feed and that type of stuff. What does your mother being a teacher and your grandmother being an entrepreneur have to do with what you're doing at Montage these days?
Well, my mom being a teacher, education was always at the forefront. And I think I spoke earlier about the changes that she helped me make from public school to a private school. And really, We do a lot of teaching here at Montage when we're doing diversity training, or when we have consultants going out and doing educational training, making teachers better teachers in the classroom, really helping.
And how about your grandmother being an entrepreneur?
Well, my grandmother is where that's where I get my entrepreneurial spirit from. She was the only woman in Jamaica on Haywood Street, right in the middle of the largest shopping district in Kingston. She owned her own building on the street. The only woman. She was very kind, but very assertive, and I think I. That's really where I get my entrepreneurial spirit from.
Mm-hmm. What's the best part of your job, Steph? What do you enjoy the most?
I enjoy when my people succeed. Again, either in work or in life. That's kind of the most enjoyable thing for me.
Matthew, what are you thinking?
Stefan, tell me when you're 11 years old and you moved from Jamaica to the United States. What was your impression of the United States?
Well, I remember it was very, very big. I'd been on a plane for the first time, and I flew into JFK.
So how did you react? You're coming to America. It's really big. It's overwhelming. It's a big journey. What was your reaction?
Well, I think I'm just used to really jumping into things with both feet. So that was pretty much what I did. I had great direction from mom. I came on a Thursday. On a Friday, I think I hung out a little bit. On Saturday, I went to Shea Stadium and started my camp. And on Monday, I had got a brand new bike and a paper route.
And you told us a similar story before about your first time skiing. You go to the mountain and never having seen snow, never having been on skis, you went all the way to the top of the mountain. Here's my question for you. What does that your willingness to go to the top of the mountain on your first day on skis, what does that have to do with what you're doing at Montage Consulting?
It's really taking on the challenge, and not really backing down. again, jumping in with both feet and trying to create solutions for people. I think that's what motivates. Yeah.
So you like taking the initiative. You like jumping in, making sure that stuff happens, you know, and you really enjoy being engaged, it sounds like. Am I correct about that?
Yes, yeah, definitely.
What kind of engagements does Montage take on that you really enjoy?
So I really like working with like leadership, executive leadership teams who, you know, whether they're running small companies or larger companies, because then you really get to tap into people and really understand their perspective, their worldview, and also to really share other perspectives and worldviews. Really, that's what I really enjoy.
It sounds like you know, it's like you're in a band or a musician where you're trying to pull all the other instruments together and all the other players together and really enjoy, you know, the synergy and bringing other perspectives. Am I correct about that? Am I putting does that make sense?
Indeed, I'm the front man and singer for the band. I unfortunately never played an instrument, but I like to direct and you know have everything gel together. So you know, I know that I need my fellow musicians in order to really create great music.
And the website address for Montage Companies?
It's montagecompanies.com.
You've been speaking with Stefan Reeves, CEO of Montage Companies, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Matthew, could you give us a rundown on who else we've had on the air today, please?
Sure, Ken. It's been a great show, Herb. We started off with Chris Contini, who's the co-founder and CEO of Encore Systems. Then we had Doug Mannion, the CEO of Aclaris Therapeutics. We spoke with Gene Friedman-Rudofsky, who's the executive director of Resolve Philly. And just now we wrapped up with Stefan Reeves, the CEO of Montage Companies.
I'd like to thank my co-hosts, including Jim Wilson Newmark, Matthew Shapiro Obermeyer, Caleb Hoppus-Hanlon, and Ben Estalos Brown & Brown, for giving me a hand structuring the questions. Jim, can you give me the website address for Newmark, please?
Sure, Herb. It's nmrk.com.
And Mr. Matthew Shapiro for Obermeyer, please?
OBERMAYER.com.
Mr. Hoppus for Hanlon?
HanlonCreative.com.
And Mr. Estalos for Brown & Brown?
BBROWN.com.
All right. I'd like to thank Jim Wilson, Matthew Shapiro, Caleb Hoppus, and Ben Estalos for giving me instruction on the questions. I'll be providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Comedian Kayvon explains why cancel culture mobs do what they do.
A lot of the radical left, they can't build anything on their own. They can't do a comedy career like me for 16 years. I post a new video every Monday because Mondays usually suck, and we want to bring laughter to the world on Monday. They can't do that. But what they can do is get 10 together and stop a comedy show or stop a Dennis Prager or stop a Larry Elder from speaking.
You can hear much more on the Hollywood in Toto podcast on iTunes or your favorite audio platform.
RSV, a virus that causes infections of the lungs and lower respiratory tract, spreads easily and quickly among infants and children. In fact, RSV is the leading cause of hospitalization in infants. Hi, I'm Representative Lauren Matsumoto from Hawaii and Women in Government Board Chair. Believe it or not, RSV is so widespread, almost all children are infected by H2. But now, there are more ways to help protect families from serious illnesses and diseases like RSV. Talk to your doctor about preventative options today. For more, visit womeningovernment.org.